I want to speak this morning entitled, When Justices Collide. When Justices Collide. I've never preached on this parable or this teaching of Christ. I never felt comfortable. But after 40 years, things have a way of coming together. Let me, before we go to our text, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read all of the 16 verses. But before I do, let me maybe set this up and say that every one of us, when we're born, we have a sense of justice, right and wrong. Even a child, recently I've shared how my friend Charlie McLaren, his granddaughter, has been taken and put in the hands of someone until they work things out. But the little girl, when she was meeting with her mother, said in front of the mother and the other caseworkers, "Mama, it's not right that they take me from you. This is wrong." This is a little 5-year-old girl has a sense of justice. And we all of us have a sense of right and wrong. God has given us a conscience to help create a fairness system. When the Bible says, fathers or parents, provoke not your children to wrath, part of that is saying don't upset their sense of justice. Don't live a hypocritical life in front of them to where, you know, you heard the old adage, you know, you do as I say, but don't do as I do. For when the children who you speak for authority and you expect me to live a certain way, and rightfully so, but you don't, then the child is provoked to wrath. His sense of justice is wronged. And so we all have a sense of fairness, of right and wrong. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we have that sense. But every one of us that becomes children of God, and even if you're not, you're going to have at times where your sense of justice collides with God's. With that, let's read chapter 20, because that is what Jesus is dealing with here. Chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed, with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and gave them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured, against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. When justices collide, let me try to explain what is taking place here. When it says that Jesus came and he found this fella, and it's the only one that he had a contract with and agreed to a certain amount of wage that he would pay him. And he came to him and hired him, and he agreed, it says one penny. One translation says $20. That's not the point, but there's this wage they agree on. And they both agree, and he sends them to go work. The fellow that is going to work is us who have come into the kingdom of God. The fellow that sent them would be the Lord or God and his justice. And then the Lord or the householder, he goes to the place where people are hired. And he met somebody at... Now, this guy went to work that agreed for at 6 in the morning. He goes and he's going to put in a 12-hour day. But then the Lord or the householder, he goes to the place where people hang out to get a job, and he found some people, and now it's 9 o'clock. And he says, do you want to work? And they say yes. He doesn't tell them how much he'll pay them. He just says, whatever is right, I will pay you. Okay? They go to work. The guy that's been there at 6 o'clock says, hello, welcome. And then the householder, he comes now at 12 o'clock, 3 hours later. He finds some other people standing around. Do you want to work? Yes. All right, go. And so he again says, whatever is right, I will pay you. Doesn't have the same contract he does with the guy that started at 6 o'clock. And so he comes. And then one comes at 3 hours later, 3 o'clock. Says same thing. Whatever is, you want to work? Yes. Whatever is fair, I will give you. And he goes work. And so the story finally evolves to where it's now 1 hour before quitting time. And so the householder comes and says, you want to work? He said, what are you doing standing here? He said, nobody's hired me. He says, well, I'll hire you. He said, and whatever is fair, whatever is right, I will pay you. Fine. He goes and works. So they're all working, and they're working side by side, and now it's pay time. And the householder, he seems to have some issues, we would say. Because if anyone normal, you would think, that it comes time to paying the people, you would think, because the householder knows that the guy who's started at 6 in the morning and he's worked 12 hours, I better pay him first and send him on down the road. But I want you to notice the order that the Bible says that the householder decided to pay him. I want to go back and look at that so you'll see that. It says, thank you, Becky. Pastor, do your homework, Lord, please. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So he's going to pay them on purpose something that you know is going to provoke each other. And so he comes to the fellow that God hired last, and he gives him a penny, the same amount he gave the guy that he hired first. Now, I want you to put yourself in this guy's place who got hired early in the morning, and he's worked all day, and he agreed to pay him 20 bucks. And he's fine with that. And now he sees when the boss shows up at the end of the day to pay, and he pays, he remembers this guy coming to work, and he only worked 1 hour, and then the boss comes and gives him 20 bucks. And you're this guy, and you're thinking, he gets 20 bucks for working 1 hour? Wow, that means I'm really going to get some more. And that's maybe how he's thinking. It must be, because they really get ticked off. And then the householder, he says, okay, who are we going to pay next? And he pays the guy that hasn't worked 1 hour. He's worked 9 hours, but you get the point. And he gives him 20. And this guy down here, who he agreed with to work for $20, is saying, something right here. This is, I must really going to be paid a lot, because and so sure enough, you read, when he comes to pay him, and even the others murmured, he says, look, you are not fair as a boss. I worked from 12 hours, and I worked in the heat of the day, and you only gave me $20, and you gave him 20 bucks, and he only worked 1 hour. In fact, I could almost see his thinking, because I'd have thought this way. I'd have said, householder, can I ask you a question? He'd say, sure, help yourself. Are you going to hire people tomorrow? Because if you're going to hire people tomorrow, you just let me know right now, because I'll just show up like that guy did, if that's what it takes. And you follow what I mean? How many know we look out for our old boy? And his sense of fairness and justice feels that's not right. And we would agree. You're looking at me like I'm setting you up, and I'm not. Our sense of justice would be that's not fair. And so the householder who represents God says to him, look, I did you no wrong. Did we not agree when I hired you, you would work for 20 bucks? Yes. Well, then did I pay you 20 bucks? Yes. And then Jesus says, referring to God and his sense of justice, because it doesn't line up with our sense of justice, he says, cannot I do what I will with my own? And you're his. When you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you belong to God. For you are bought not with silver or gold, but you are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then the householder quoted a scripture that then the householder said. He first said, I do what I will with my own? But he also said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? God, every decision God ever makes is right. Every decision God ever makes, it is right. And that expression is found in Genesis somewhere around the 16th chapter, where you have the story of Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, and saying, when the Lord said to him, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham began to pray or intercede and said, if there be 50 righteous, would you spare the city? Yes. And if there be 40 and 30 and 20 and 10 and on down. And then finally the Lord said to Abraham, shall not the judge of the earth do right? If I bring judgment, it's because it's right. If I don't bring judgment, it's because it's right. If I do this, it's because it's right. If I do this. And so early we do well to establish the fact that God's judgments are true and righteous altogether. Psalms 19 says that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, and we are to desire His judgments more than silver and gold. Well, I like my sense of justice myself, but sometimes it competes with God's sense of justice. How many have ever felt, God, that's not fair? God, that's not right? Let me tell you my take. I think it's a good take. And I've bounced it off, but every one of us as Christians are going to find ourselves in each one of these fellas' position. So your Christian life, from the time you come to God to the time that the Lord takes you home, you're going to find yourself sometimes being the guy that is hired at early in the morning. Sometimes you're going to find yourself 3 hours later. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in the position of him that was hired the 11th hour, and you got a whole bunch, and you didn't do nothing to get what you got. When I was a youth pastor, I was saved. Well, let's hope so. And called into the ministry, and I went to be a youth pastor in Roseburg, Oregon. And while I was there, we had an incredible move of God. We had a youth group that grew to over 100, sometimes much more than that. And that happened within about a year's time, from 6-8 kids to over 100. We became up there in these small towns. It was a pretty big event. And I remember that the paper did write-ups on us. We made front page. In fact, myself, I began to get invitations because of the move of God that was there in this church and the, you know, the notoriety of it. And so I began to get invitations to come and speak, and like I was really a somebody. I'm looking at your expressions to see. And I remember going, and thank God I had enough grace to know. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples when they went and ministered, and when they came back, they were so excited. They were thrilled of the results, of the fruit that, and Jesus said, disciples, wait a minute, before you get big-headed, and before you think you're really somebody, I sent you to reap where somebody before you labored. So don't get all cocky and thinking and start bragging and saying, how did you do it? Well, we paid the price. Boy, we prayed. Boy, I mean, we sought God. And we are reaping what we've sown. Hogwash. Don't you dare take credit for somebody before you that dug the ground, and somebody came along afterward and planted the seed, and somebody came along and that seed, as it was growing, somebody watered it, and now somebody came along and watered it more, and then somebody came along and they pruned the tree, and then you come along and all you had to do is just pick the fruit, and you take credit like you is somebody? Uh-uh. And so here I am 40 years later. I'm praying harder. I'm witnessing more. I'm doing far more, whether you know it or not, I is. And I don't see the fruit now. God, that don't seem fair. Thank you for your smile, Phil. How many know what I'm talking about? You're going to find yourself positioned in each one of these characters at times. And be careful that you don't accuse God's justice system of being wrong. He always does right. He never makes mistakes. He knows what he's doing. He knows the way that I take. My steps are ordered of the Lord. And thank God, I've had my faults, but thank God one of them back then wasn't pride taking credit for something because I've seen that. And I'm not saying there isn't a price to be paid. I'm not saying that people don't need to intercede and need to travail and do all those things. But folks, those things take years. And then somebody comes along and they just get to pick the fruit. And they think, wow, you must be something. Although I am, I'm not trying to disregard the gifting that God has given. But I find it very interesting that Jesus, who is teaching this, trying to establish, because all of us in our life are going to have times when our sense of justice collides with God's. And here is what the Lord said. Because you'll find yourself positioned this guy when sometimes God is so good to you. And you get blessings like crazy. Be careful. You don't think that, boy, I must be doing something right. And that's not to say you're not. But then sometimes you may be the guy that has labored and has prayed and has sought and lived for God and done everything you know to do. And then you see somebody else getting blessed. And here I've lived for God all these years. And they come along and now they get, and that's what happened to David in Psalm 73. He said, when I saw the wicked prosper, and I couldn't figure out why. I've been living for God all these years until I went in the house of God and he showed me their end. And so what is the Lord, as we always say, what's the bottom line? One guy told me one time, he said, Dennis, you're just a bottom line guy. I don't know if that was a compliment or he was accusing me of impatience. Get to the point. Jesus is saying, learn to trust God no matter where you are positioned. No matter where you are positioned in life, learn to trust Him. Learn to trust Him. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? That means I've got to trust Him. It's easy to trust Him when I'm in jail like Paul and Silas and we get whipped and we sing praises at midnight and the angels come and break us out. It's easy to praise Him then. But now, a few years later, Paul's in jail and ain't no angel coming to break him out. And nobody comes to visit Paul. And Paul said, and all men forsook me. Timothy, bring me my parchment and this. Now's the time to trust Him just as much as when you trusted Him then. It's time to trust Him, and it's easy to trust Him when God tells you there's going to be 14 years, 7 good years, Joseph and Pharaoh, and then 7 bad years. How many know it's easy to trust Him in the 7 good years? But now when the 7 bad years come, do you trust Him? It's easy to trust Him when He bids you to step out of the boat and walk on the water and you're walking on the water, but then you take your eyes off of Him and you put Him on the storm and you begin to sink. It's time to trust Him. Don't look at the storm. Look back at Jesus. Simple preaching, but so obviously true. Trust Him when you're sinking. I see these pictures of Jesus and they have that lamb in the good shepherd's arms. And I say, oh yes, it's easy to trust Him then. But what about when one of those little sheep wander off the fold, which they shouldn't, and then they break their leg, and then they're hung up underneath some bush, and the little lamb is waiting. Will my shepherd find me? Does he know where I am? It's easy to trust him when you feel safe and secure, but can I trust him when I've blown it? Can I trust him when I knew what I did I shouldn't have did, and I did it, and now I'm where I'm at? Can I trust him? You can trust him then, that he knows where you are. He knows how to. Jonah can trust God after the revival, but you got to learn to trust him when you're in the belly of the whale. And you got to learn to trust him when you walk on water and when you're sinking. And you got to learn to trust him when you're on the mountaintop, but you got to learn to trust him when you're in the valley. You got to learn to trust him when things are going good and when things are going bad, because I guarantee you they're going to go bad. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but shall not the judge of the earth do right? Julian, bless his heart. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want this recorded. He's been having a problem. Chucking his son. He's 5 years old. And his parents have been on him. They tried everything. And finally, Tawny took Julian aside and said, Julian? And she got some pictures. And these pictures show kids with buck teeth, and them teeth sticking out. And she said, Julian, you see these teeth sticking out? She said, that's what's going to happen to you if you don't quit sucking your thumb. And old Julian looked up at his mama. Hey, mama, I'm trying. I just can't quit. I'm really trying. I just can't quit. I told my wife, she's all poor Julian. She said, Julian, we're going to pray, and God's going to help you. I want you to trust him when you can't help yourself. You may be battling something. You may have a habit. You may get some dumb preacher get up and say, quit! And you may be saying, I can't, I'm trying. Is that person lying? Not necessarily. Paul. Good old Apostle Paul, who can tell everybody and write in every epistle, humble yourselves, humble yourselves, humble yourselves. Even you, said Paul, thou that sayest thou should not steal, does thou steal? Thou that sayest thou should not kill, does thou kill? Paul, you tell people to be humble. Are you humble, Paul? Well, let's see. Paul writes in Corinthians. Pray for me, I'm in trouble when I get home. Paul in Corinthians says, in essence, let me give you the bottom line before we get there, and I'll tell you how we get there. Paul couldn't be proud. Paul could not be humble on his own. Do my ears look like Rubio? Got it backwards? They did when I was younger. No wonder you never have big crowds talking like that. Paul could not be humble on his own. Paul, you tell everybody else to be humble. In fact, Paul, you write, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Have at it, Paul, be humble. Paul can't be humble on his own. Do I have Bible to back that up? Yes. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, I had so many revelations given me. God gave me so many things in the spirit world that would cause a man to become proud. He said that there was, because of the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Don't know what the thorn is. We know it was from the devil. But we know it bothered Paul. And Paul prayed 3 times that the thorn, this thing that irritated him from the devil, would go away. 3 times. Paul, not stupid. Paul, smart man. Paul writes much of what we read. Paul brought out revelations to Galatians. Paul, not know, he's a pretty sharp pencil in the lot. You know good and well, Paul said, God, why you give me this thorn? Because you'll be proud, Paul, without it. Well, God, take it away. I'll be humble on my own. You know he would have said that. No, Paul, I know you better than you know yourself. And so Paul said, okay, your grace is sufficient, which that was grace. We don't know what that thorn was, but we know that it was given to keep Paul humble. You can almost hear Paul, I can't help myself. But it was true. God was not giving him the thorn in the flesh to punish him. He was giving it to help him, to strengthen him. Can you trust him with the thorns in the flesh? I got you thinking, don't I? Because he may have put a thorn in your flesh. Can you trust him? You see, I've got to learn to trust him from the time that I receive Christ to the time that I die. I see one child, and I think, oh, thank you, Lord, for the blessing. And then I hear a story like Becky, when children die in a fire, and you're tempted to say, I don't understand your justice. Why you do that? And I come back. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Job, you can trust him when you got thousands of camels and thousands of sheep and you got lots of money and you got the favor of your friends and you got the respect of people, and there you sit out in front of the gates and there people come and, oh, you got a good life. It's nice to trust God then. But then he loses one after another, and his children and everything else. And then his friends sit for a week in the ashes, and then they begin to attack Job. And then his wife said, curse God and die. What kind of God of justice is that? And Job said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Though he slay me, I will trust him. And may you learn to trust God in every place in your life. He never makes a mistake. We'll understand it better by and by. And Jesus says, you're going to have at times when you think he's not paying right. You're going to think at times God's not fair. And like Job's wife, curse God and die. But his judgments, his decisions, I should want them more than I want silver and gold. Ask God to give you a desire for his judgments. Learn to trust him. Let's stand. We watch Jesus on the cross, and Jesus says, why have you forsaken me? But he knows what he preached, shall not the judge of the earth do right? And he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. If he can trust him on the cross, then let us trust what Jesus did on the cross. Trust him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Trust him. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Trust him that your sins are forgiven. Trust him that they're buried in the sea of forgetfulness, not to be remembered against him. Trust him, because the judge always does right. I could give you illustrations that would validate that, but I think nothing validates it more than the Word of God itself. I've used this before and I close with it. Little boy said, I've got a quarter, I've got a quarter. His mother and sister looked at him and said, you don't have a quarter. Empty your pockets. He emptied his pockets, no quarter. He said, what do you mean you got a quarter? I have a quarter. How do you know you have a quarter? He said, Grandpa's coming today. Grandpa's coming. The Lord knows your life, every bit of it. Trust Him. The altars are open. Let's come find a place to pray, shall we? I invite you to find a place to pray, maybe where you're at. If you have to go, the Lord bless you. But He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So let's do that. Let's talk to Him. Let's tell Him we trust Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But if you trust Him, you please Him. Debbie is playing. Does anybody know where it is in the hymnal? Jesus, Jesus. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Page 343. Let's sing it together.
is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I have proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I approved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust. The last verse, I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I trust Thee, how I have proved Thee over and over. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
They asked Jesus, Lord, what can we do to do the works? What works that we can do please You? And Jesus said, believe on Me. Believe on Him who has sent Me. That's doing the work of God. Trust in Jesus. You'll never be more spiritual than that. God bless you. Have a good week. See you tonight, 5:00.